next talk will be by Thomas Fricke. He's an expert on containers and network security. It will be about energy consumption of data centers, especially following the AI hype. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you to this late hour. So I'm assuming you are really interested in the topic. Who are we or who am I? So I'm part of this Innovationsverbund Öffentliche Gesundheit. This is some group of people interested more or less in medical IT, and AI is part of it. We do open source projects with privacy in mind, use social innovation. We have some funding from Björn Steiger Stiftung, and the initial funding was done by the Holistic Foundation. Personally, I do normally Kubernetes cloud security. I have a background, but this is decades ago, in statistical physics. And I've worked for certain public projects pro bono for the German Open Code Portal, which is kind of GitLab for the German administration, and do consulting on the IT Planungsrat, which is the planning council. And now I'm doing paid consulting on OpenDesk and for the Federal IT Commission. So let's talk about this, and I think, I don't know, who of you had seen something or had this kind of device in his or her hands? This is an NVIDIA H100. This is the most hype thing in the moment. You see it fits in your hand, and it's a more or less a modern version of a big graphics card. And if you see the power consumption, if it would be working, you would not have it in your hand because it is producing 700 watts of heat. This means if you stack these things together into a rack, you immediately have 30 kilowatt per rack, instead compared to the normal data center at the moment, which has 3 to 6 kilowatts per rack. And let's compare it with the old model. Everybody has more or less a brain in his head until you drink too much alcohol. And here we have the legacy model, let's say that. And it took several hundred years to develop. And what you actually also have is an energy consumption of 20 watt. So there's a big difference, 700 watt, 20 watt. Why is there a big difference? Let's look into it. If we look into the modeling of a neuron in the typical AI, everything is wrong with it, nearly everything. So the hype is 50 years old, and they simply said, yes, this perceptron, which is a summing function and more or less a threshold function, that's a neuron. And if you go to somebody, a friend of mine is professor for neurology in Cologne, he is laughing at me immediately, because this on the right side, this is a neuron. You have a lot of energy producing stuff here, and then you have the synaptic terminals, so you have the synapses. And this means this is a real neuron. This is not a neuron. What comes closest to this perceptron is kind of a synaptic terminal. And if you look into the comparison, everything with, yeah, the computer is an electronic brain. Now we have artificial intelligence. Nearly everything is wrong, and you should simply subtract the marketing. A computer is not a brain and never was, not in the 50s, not in the 60s, and probably not in the near future. If we compare the numbers, this is from the NVIDIA TensorCore datasheet. You see a typical CPU, which is the most advanced CPU at the moment, has 80 billion transistors. The transistor is not a neuron, it's just a switch. And if you compare to the basic neural units of the brain, the neuron synapses and the action potential, somebody has counted it, it has been counted several times, you get into it that you have around 100 billion, so this is the American billion, this is 10 to the 9th, so in German, Milliarde, neurons, and they have some 10,000 connections to other neurons. So the complexity is much higher than the number of transistors on a single NVIDIA H100. And you get this for 20 watts. And if you compare it further, you see the brain has a completely different way of processing signals. It is really firing. It is just by the number of firing synapses per second. This is the stuff, how it shows how much information or how much how close it is to the threshold. So effectively, this synaptical thing here, which is a which is closer thing to a perceptron, is identified by exactly this function. They interpret it as a neuron, which is not the neuron. This is a neuron, and effectively, if you look into it, this typical thing, which is simulated, but they have simulated it in the same way that it would work in a brain, it is a two-layer neural network. So the IT neural network. So we have to have this in mind, and this means we are still much, much further away from the actual complexity of the brain. And now we stack this entire thing into racks, and typical rack is whatever. If you've gone to, if you ever visited a data center, normally you have this standardized racks, and with this new type of NVIDIA GPUs, we have this kind of NVIDIA rack, and this means we have here 700 watts times 8, and we have typically three of these units, so that you can immediately calculate. You have, you need 6 times 3,000 watts to produce energy which is consumed by the NVIDIA graphic card. So effectively, you need here more or less 30 kilowatt. And this is not the thing you get in a typical data center. If you have in a data center, if you go into a data center, you have typically 30 times 30, so around 1,000 of these racks. Each of the normal racks is about 900,000 euros. So this is, the number is a few years old. So this means in a typical room of a data center where you have thousands of these racks, you have a billion of euro of money together, and this means this is a big investment if you want to install a data center. With this kind of thing, you have the additional complication that you need a different cooling. So this isn't, it's not possible to have a passive cooling anymore. You need an active cooling, and this means you need a liquid cooling. And this means you need a completely different concept of a data center. If you look into the Google version, Google has their own version of tensor processing units. These are seven racks, and this means they are all interconnected. Network connections come additional to the power a typical GPU consumes. You have these seven racks, and you have to invest a lot of thermodynamics and heat technology to get rid of the heat in these data centers. So this is what makes AI at the moment so expensive. If you go to a university or to a library and they use AI, they are always complaining about the cost of AI processing. And this comes from, yes, we need this kind of data center for this AI, and this means we have to invest it. If we go back to the classic data centers without AI, we have compared to other industries, more or less aviation and the data centers on the same size. If we compare this now with artificial intelligence, it comes on the top, and this means we have here an unknown number. I would say at the moment at least two times as much energy, which is necessary for creating AI in a data center. Another thing is the privacy and digital sovereignty problem. Normally, you have your own data centers internally, or you can use co-location, or you can use a hyperscaler. And the hyperscalers, obviously, because they are scaling, have more efficient data centers than you can produce in your building. And it's significantly. So you have here five times the workload, the intensity, so the tons of CO2 compared to a hyperscaler data center. What you also see is it's nearly impossible to get real numbers, but if you compare the typical data centers, 15 megawatt, which is a small one, consumes as much power as three hospital buildings, or as an almond orchard, or as a two times 18-hole golf course, but this is not energy anymore, this is water. So it needs also additionally water to cool the data center. So this is something you also should have in mind if you compare numbers of a data center. And it's so strong, you see the industry is greenwashing things. So Google is very proud of, yes, we have this PUE value. This means it's a total data center energy consumption to the consumption which really is used from the equipment. So this is more or less a value. Here this is the payload, and here is the total energy you need to use. And Google is very proud of telling you, yes, we are below 1.01, which is simply greenwashing, because they only can get this with a number of water which is substantial in some areas. So Google in the area of Frankfurt could not build a data center directly in Frankfurt. They had to go to Hanau because Frankfurt is running out of energy and running out of water for the data centers. And there are several movements around the world. If you see Ireland, for example, has 18% of the energy production going into data centers, and the people are protesting. If you have I don't know if you have heard it, Ireland has to reduce the carbon dioxide, has passed a law that they should go away with the cows, because cows are another, in terms of CO2 production, a competitor to data centers. And I don't know if you can imagine Ireland without cows. Same in the Netherlands, same in Brandenburg, because we don't have enough water, we don't have enough energy at this. Places. And then, how much energy does artificial intelligence use? And it's hard to get the numbers, but if you collect the graphs, then you see, okay, ChatGPT used 1.2 something gigawatt hours, roughly 120 US homes for a year, but they don't tell which version, and they don't tell you for which kind of training. What you also see is this PUE value of this NVIDIA graphic cards is much worse than this 1.1 of Google. It's 1.58, so nearly 60% of the energy is wasted. And you have normally anecdotal numbers, so how much does it cost? You have air travel of one person to New York, San Francisco, or human life, average 1 year, and you can compare it to training models. This is interesting because you see here the real huge numbers. But finally, the really interesting number, I don't know if you can use this, and this happened in somehow after 2010, is that the AI has its own version of Moore's law. So normally Moore's law, this is a logarithmic scale, says you have every 2 years a doubling of computing power, and here in 2010, the training of the big models turned to another Moore's law, which said, okay, we are doubling the energy or the CPU consumption every 3.4 months. So you have nearly four doubling periods a year and not one doubling period every 2 years. And if you compare it for this AlphaGo Zero model and would use it, or would use in H100 for it, but at that time H100 did not exist, you see it is taking one around 67 megawatt hours to train this model. So you should have a real reason for these big models. Playing Go, okay, is probably not the best idea, but it was a proof of concept. And it showed that it is possible to have some real useful outcome of AI. But then if you compare this with Bitcoin, it is more or less replacing Bitcoin in that league, that you have the energy consumption of entire countries which are used for mining Bitcoins. And the interesting part is both Bitcoins, as Meta, so this is Facebook Metaverse, and the artificial intelligence are based on GPUs from one and the same vendor, NVIDIA, and they got a value at the stock of $1 trillion, so in German, $1 billion, Börsenwert. And this means it is driven by the same spirit of, yes, we want to sell GPUs. If you look into typical applications, you see, I did this personally in critical infrastructure for trading software. We had problems of measuring the load of the application compared to the load of a typical OpenShift cluster, and then we recalculated the needs for the software, and then we have seen, okay, it would fit on a Raspberry, but we are using a Kubernetes cluster for that. Same thing, I once dissolved a team of Oracle admins, and then they moved simply to Hadoop. And this is another trend, that the people in a company who are using the most resources, the most horsepower or most computing power, have the highest rank in the hierarchy. And this means that a lot of these paradigms are not technological, but they are more or less psychological. I call it more or less server machism. Who is owning the most resources is the most important one in this companies. Also have the rebound effect. So this means if we would assume AI is now getting cheaper, let's say 20%, the usage would increase more than double that amount. This means this is known as Jevons paradox. It has been first described for steam engines, and it is an example for traveling costs. Rebound effects in cloud computing typically include self-provisioning. If you make a team enabling in self-provisioning, it is using more resources than before, and it's getting expensive. Even you think, okay, now the team can do everything on its own. No, it is getting more expensive. Another example of a data center, this is a planned data center in should go live in Berlin in 2026, I believe. This means we have a 100 megawatt data center. And it's one of the first one integrated into the energy management. There is a cooperation with a local Berlin power provider, and it's integrated into district heating. This means we reuse 50 to 60% of the heating energy for warming houses. And you might have seen Anke's talk about the public data centers. This, it's the same in industry. Only 6% of the data centers are integrated. And that means we have to look into how we can integrate it better. The cooling, if you don't want to waste the entire water, has to change. You need adiabatic cooling, which means we have two streams. One stream of incoming air, and then you have a heat exchange, and then the outcoming, the heat here is going into the outcoming heat flow, and this means you don't have the, if you don't do it this way, you get all the liquidity, or not the liquidity, the humidity of the air in the data center, and this is something you don't want, so you have to do this exchange, and this means with this kind of closed heating systems, or cooling systems, you have a PUE value of 1.3, but you don't waste water. So if water is your problem, adiabatic cooling is your solution. Another thing is if you look into smaller units, you have data centers in containers, and you can run an entire open stack version, so the sovereign cloud stack on it. This is, has to be done by Hochschule Osnabrück. And you have a data center in a real container, and you can use photovoltaic for the energy production, and you can even store energy in hydrogen tanks if you really want it. But this means you can have an isolated data centers of this size in your backyard, more or less. I asked them what they are really doing. They are upcycling heat to 85 Celsius, and it's scalable between 50 kilowatt and 15 megawatt. It is, makes economic sense. From 250 kilowatt, so you have on this scale, you have 2 gigawatt hours of heat production per year, and you can heat 400 houses. But customers normally want at least 5 megawatt data centers. This means you have 40 gigawatt and 8,000 houses. So it can be also used for industrial usage. This means the first real estate companies are interested because this can significantly lower your heating costs. Another thing is if you can really do the exchange in another way, you can have a sand battery that you store the heat, because if you, you will create this heat also in summer, and this is not what you really want. But what we really want with artificial intelligence is something similar to our brain. This is around since 20 years. It's called neuromorphic computing, and it's compared to a CPU. It mimics the way our neurons work in our brain. So you have advantages. You have massively parallel processing. You have spiking neural networks. And it is completely asynchronous. So it is also, this means it's also completely non-deterministic. And this means we have a problem that we, at least in this model, it's even harder to find out what really happens in these models. There's an example from Intel. They say they could save tenfold the energy, which is good. There are memristors, so there you have units which are also memory and compute something that's completely different from the von Neumann model. And here in Australia, they are something, creating something which is named Deep South. And they want to build the first big neuromorphic supercomputer in the next year. Hope they are successful. Okay, this was all more or less negative. What do we really want? We want artificial intelligence, definitely for image processing, for protein folding, or real applications like that. What we don't want is that our AI consumes all our energy. And the answer is a little bit stupid. Again, what do we need to produce energy? Yes, let's try nuclear reactors. And if you have followed the discussions in Germany in the last year, it was more or less irrational. We have this kind of, can we turn it off? And if in the US they had these mini reactors from NuScale, but they have been killed by green energy because even the small reactors are much more expensive than the real reactors, so the remote fusion reactor in our sky or wind energy is much more effective than nuclear energy. This is just a marketing hype to get this kind of technology back into business. What we see, if we really look into the details, I think we will see a 5 to 10-fold increase in energy consumption if we do it this way. This is a danger to the local climate and it cannot be satisfied globally. It is competing with other industries and nuclear power plants, by the way, we are running also out of uranium. And most of the uranium is not under democratic control. And we should go away from this GPU-naive way of implementing perceptrons. Unfortunately, the other stuff is not really ready for production. I hope that the Australians have success next year, but we will see what happens. We also see massive charlatanry and massive financial interest on this topic. So I skipped a lot of things. For example, if you want to get rid of the bias of the typical large language models, you have to train it more. We have racist bias, we have misogyn bias, we have all kinds of biases. This means we have to train more carefully. And this is another aspect and would be a completely new talk. So I hope you enjoyed it a little bit. And I'm done with my slides, and now we can go to celebrate the end of the day. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That was some food for thought. Is there any question from the audience? Yeah, maybe one. Yeah. hello.
Hi, sorry for the delay. Could you please elaborate on how, because you mentioned the problem of water consumption for data centers, how is the water consumed?
The water is simply vaporized. So the easiest way of cooling a system is just vaporize it and then get rid of the steam. And if you do this, you lose a lot more water than you have in a closed circuit. This adiabatic cooling is a closed circuit, but it is not as effective as just spreading water onto the system. And then if you have enough water, okay, but at the moment we don't have enough water in certain regions.
And you said the open circuit is more efficient than the closed circuit? Yeah,
for cooling.
Yes.
But then the water is lost. You have to...
Yeah, I understand. I was just making sure. Thank you.
And this is complicated. So you, I think it's hard to get below 1.3 of this PoE value if you use a closed water circuit.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Now, one question: the usage, the high power usage for AI models is when they are trained. Is there a separation of the calculation for the usage of existing trained models, and how much is that versus the training itself?
That's completely true. Normally, you calculate, I think, 100 or 1,000 times more GPU power for training. But if you have 100 or 1,000 times more users, it's more or less on par. So if you make something like large language models like ChatGPT very popular, it will also consume a lot of power during the time it is simply used. So it's hard to distinguish. Normally for a single training run, it's really a factor of 100 or 1,000, but for many users of the same model, it might be as power-consuming as a training.
So you also can find the numbers somewhere, how much is used per query on a large language model like...
You can calculate it down to the query, but actually the scaling curve is this exponential trend. The doubling of CPU consumption every 2.4, every 3.4 months cannot be caught by more efficiency in the GPU in this model. So NVIDIA is, I think everybody is working on that, but you have a factor of doubling of Moore's law every 2 years, and then you have more or less in 2 years you have seven doubling periods of the consumption. So this does not fit together. This is unfortunately something you cannot. You cannot discuss away. Anything else is more or less anecdotic. So you see, yeah, I compared with the power consumption of a hospital or something like this. Yes, this gives you an impression, but it is not telling you the real trend behind this entire AI power consumption.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Oh, let's go to...
Is it possible to throttle the data centers to undo spikes in the energy consumption and to stabilize the networks of energy networks?
Yeah, everybody is thinking about saving energy and you can have batteries on this. The data centers itself have a lot of throttling, not of throttling, they're trying to equalize the consumption, but effectively this is part of your power grid. So the power grid providers should learn somehow to train to save energy in batteries or in hydrogen. Hydrogen is the worst idea. Or the power grid should be as big that you can simply flatten the entire differences, because you have energy park in the north and solar energy locally. So this is something they try to do anyway, but therefore they need power transport, and this is at the moment another bottleneck in our transmission grids. More question? Yes.
One more question. You mentioned power grids and battery power, and now I'm wondering if you looked up what amount of power is lost just in a conversion between AC and DC. Is that marginal, or is that actually a size that's relevant?
DC on 1 million volt is very effective, and the the turning it into to AC is quite effective. So I think you can neglect it compared to the consumption of let's say electric cars. They would be another thing, or data centers.
All right, cool. With that, let's call it a night. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.